Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics. You know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Abhinay Basan and Akshay Gurnani, welcome to Tell Me About It. This is episode number 9. It's called, we always call everything tentative. It's called, What Does It Take? Right? What does it take? So we wanted to meet, we've been meeting a lot of good people, weird people, interesting people. So we wanted to meet a couple of excellent young super achievers, right? Which I'm like really setting you up for a nice thing now. Now you can blame me or hate me later, but the whole idea is that we just wanted to figure out, you know, what makes you tick? Because I think that there are two kinds of people in the audience, right? People who have been war veterans who actually have lost touch with the younger generation of leaders and how they think and how they actually are interacting and making this world what it is, warts and all. And the second is the younger guys who are looking for newer inspirational models, right? Which obviously they're going to find in, both of you. So we're just trying to figure out who you are and what makes you tick and what can serve as inspiration. So having said that, welcome. We've got, normally I introduce both guests, but what I'm going to do is, because you are in a situation wherein you actually have belonged to two separate lists of 30 under 30 achievers, man, I'm like really jealous. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you introduce yourself, actually talk us through very quickly through a journey that led you to where you were and your interaction with that list that you made. So who wants to go first?
I don't mind taking this off the bat. Coming down from the cloud that you put us on back to Mother Earth. Okay. I think for me, a quick summary of my journey would have been, I'm actually an economist who's entered the field of advertising. Yeah. I started off post-graduation in economics from Warwick. I came to India and started off really as a person who wanted to know the business more. Mm-hmm. And that's what my first role at Carrera was all about, where I understood traditional media planning and buying And then I went into strategy thereafter. 4 years ago, I had the opportunity to co-found Data Sciences because the organization had a need and I sort of displayed the skill along with my boss. So like two or three of us got together and co-founded the Data Sciences team. And ever since, I think it's been a great run of 4 years. Every day has been a learning. And I think when it comes to list, right, whatever the list may be, I think all of that is just bells and whistles and ancillaries that come onto it. But the core is that I was fortunate enough to really be doing what I love doing. And so the punchline is that, I'm really fortunate that in some way it's been recognized more as an more from an industry standard. So just like happy to be doing what I'm doing. Over to Akshay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to leave you that easily, but Akshay, if you can quickly talk about yourself.
Sure. Cool. So I'm thorough Bombay bred. I haven't studied abroad or anything. So 5 years in HR college, undergraduate and post-graduation I did in HR. I did my Bachelor of Management Studies. You know, typically like any 20-year-old, I was confused whether I want to do finance or marketing back in the day. I chose to do both. I majored in finance as an analyst. Absolutely hated it for 6 months. I did that job. I mean, I learned a lot in those 6 months, and I absolutely loved the learnings. Yeah. I tried it. I tried it. And I think in 2010, towards November, is when I switched to marketing, and digital marketing was at that point in time sort of the new buzzword. So actually not even digital, social media marketing, SMM as we called it back in the day, was the buzzword. So I joined a growing agency back in the day. I started off as a content writer. I used to manage brands online, online reputation, typically, you know, jack of all trades, because you didn't have any mentor, you had no one to teach you anything in marketing. You just had to go and do whatever you could, you know, possibly. But I think as the industry grew, as the entire digital sphere grew, I grew with the company. I spent about 2 years in Delhi then. I was heading the North India operations for this company. In 2014 is when I came back to Bombay. And then I joined my two partners, Harshal and Sohail, and we began Shebang. So Jan of 2015 is when we started Shebang, and it's been a good 5.5 years now. So I've turned 30 now, so I can't win anything else now. I think the Forbes 30 or 30 has evaded me, so that's fine.
I think 30 is a terrible age, because at 30 you feel very old. I think I'm not trying to make you feel really bad about things, but
it's fine. I treat it like it's a new age now, because my next threshold is 40, which is 10 years away. So I feel quite young now, right? From that perspective.
Very nice, very nice, very nice. But both of you have avoided this question, so I'm going to make it a little more explicit and ask you this question, right? So what does being in this list, Akshay, you said that, okay, I'll start with you, maybe, you know, Abhinay can come in a little later. Let me start with you. Say, what does being in the list mean to you? So obviously you've moved ahead and you've become 30 and all, but I just wanted to know, in the scheme of your life, okay, what does being in a list like this mean to you? You can say nothing at all. You can say absolutely fantastic, whatever.
I mean, I won't lie. It does mean a lot, because it's a way that people are recognizing the effort you've put in. As an individual, I've never worked for the awards. I think I'm a kind of a person who works really hard. I work the long hours. I try to do the best that I can do in whatever I do. If the accolades come along with it, great. I mean, I'm more than happy. But I've never worked for an award per se, or worked to be on a coveted list of that sense. So I think, you know, it's coming onto these lists is more like a pat on the back saying you've done a good job and you're doing well, so continue what you're doing. In that moment, for a few days after that, you feel very nice about it. And then it goes into your LinkedIn profile, and it goes on to a couple of other bios somewhere. But I think after that, you're back to normal life, you're back to doing your own job, and you're trying to do something better for yourself. So I think these are short-lived, you know, moments in life which you celebrate, the milestones, which I call them. But I don't live by them. I believe that we've got to do good work and believe in the work that we're doing. And if the accolades come along the way, so be it. Yeah.
So tell me, now this is a very nice nice answer, but what did you feel when you got that?
Okay, so Okay, sorry, I thought.
I'll just finish this one. I felt happy. I really felt happy. I think my family was very proud. My team was very proud. And you obviously gloat in the glory of it because it's a list which has some amazing names on them. So you're like, okay, I think I've done something good to be on this list. So your ego gets a boost up to an extent.
Excellent.
And that's where it ends, to work the next day and you're back to doing your job, right? So it's how
it goes. No, absolutely. Good. Now that was the real shit, man. And that's good answer. Abhinay, what about you?
Yeah, so I mean, completely echoing what Akshay said in his sentiment and the feeling, I think it's a great moment of pause that it gets recognized in many ways, that a lot of people sort of recognize. And like Akshay says, it goes onto the various profiles and stuff. But at the end of the day, comes in the next month and the next moment where you've still got to deliver on your results. You still got to do what you got to do. And it's just like a motivation to move on towards the next set of growth as an individual.
No, but Abhinay, now let me ask you. You are clearly a science nerd, right? You're someone who has actually literally, you know, combined the two forms. You study consumer behavior and you study data analytics. You've been an economist. And now you're kind of doing a manthan out of all of these three things and trying to figure out a lot of interesting questions for yourself and for the clients that you serve. In this, you're clearly using your prefrontal cortex. You're like really into your head. And then suddenly something like this happens out of the blue, right? How does it figure in your life?
Right. I mean, of course, like said, right? It's like someone sort of giving you a hug, you know, you're actually doing something that we recognize that is actually of good value, and that has sort of spurred me on in many ways. But yeah, of course, like any other great success, right? There's always scope for improvement, there's scope to do something else. And it just sort of motivates you to say that, okay, you're probably figuring out and solving the right problems. And that's essentially what I'm after, right? So you're solving the right problems. Those problems have created tremendous value. And maybe you've created something great out of it. So it's a good recognition from that point of view.
Right. Interesting. But you're also somebody who is an employee, unlike, the Shebang co-founder that we've got over here. You're an employee. So how does it how do you come across as to other people? Do people get a little jealous? What happens?
I mean, it'll be incorrect if I had to discount that fact. I'm not sure jealous. I guess everyone has great intentions at the end of the day. Of course, there's a feeling of... for me personally, the way I've seen it is that there's more of a feeling of camaraderie, like someone, one of us has sort of gotten that. And many of us can sort of...
I'm telling you, people will be jealous as shit. I'm telling you. That's what happens. You're being sweet and all that, but I'm telling you, that's what happens. How do you deal with it?
For me, I think I've had a great support system, so I'm not going to discount them at all from that point of view. And I think it really goes for any achievement, right? And even like getting up and going to office every day, as long as you have the confidence that you have a great support system, I think those are the only people who are answerable to, in my opinion. And that way, I think it's a great strength. So helps you.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you go with that. Yeah, here's a different question to both of you. Obviously, you guys are not the same people that you were, say, 5 years back or whatever, whenever you started your journey. And there's a related googly coming along with the question as a later thing. But here's the first initial question. Do you think that you've developed a unique perspective because of your journey? You know, whether it's through your education and then your work experience and all the stuff that you've got. If you have a unique perspective, what is it? Can you share it with us?
Cool. So taking this off the bat, I think it takes me back to a quote from Steve Jobs, right? Where he actually said that you look at things backwards and then you figure out that the dots connected. But while you're sort of in it, you really don't know what you're doing. Interestingly, I studied economics. I focus a lot on statistics and mathematics. So I never really studied. For me, when I was doing it, there wasn't a hardcore data analytics or data sciences course. In a way, it's very new from that perspective. So I think it's economics and consumer understanding is what I was really after, statistics out of Japan. And 2 years into my career, nearly 2 years into my career, I figured out that you could combine these two together to create something more meaningful and more efficient. And I think that's essentially what led me even to where I am today, so to speak.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think for me, the journey has been from being an employee to becoming an employer. So I think for me, that big journey has taught me a lot of things. It's changed my worldview overall, because now I know I'm responsible for many more people, right? That's very important. Because now it's not that I'm responsible for a team of 10 people. Now it's 350 people across the board, across the company, right? So I think for me, that perspective has changed as to how you've got to respect people, respect teams, you know, how you've got to keep people motivated all the time. And I think it comes back to what we believe in a lot is building culture, right? Very importantly, because you've got to give people a safe space to work and feel motivated every single day to come and do something for you, right?
Correct.
Something for you, something for themselves. And why we say something for themselves, because they've got to see growth in what they are doing also, right? Today, I'm on a 30 and a 30. I want my team now to start moving into these lists also, because eventually it speaks volumes about how we built the company, right? That if the team themselves are featuring on these amazing lists, winning awards, I think it speaks a lot about how we as individuals have given them their opportunity also. So I think my worldview from that sense has changed towards how we, you know, talk to people, attract the right kind of talent, you know, and actually respect people. And that's a big part of my job, because right now, you know, everything depends on the team, right? You are as good as the summation of all the things that your team does. So
what I find really interesting, you putting on your founder shoes have certainly gone into the culture aspect and the setting up of aspect and all of that. While on the other hand, you know, Abhinay is focused more on delivering value, which is around the data and the consumer and stuff like that. So it's fascinating to see how you have evolved and your unique perspectives on this world.
So,
but
Siddharth actually tried, like, maybe a slight addition to that. In many ways, I call ourselves, and my boss also does actually, we call ourselves a startup, because it's a team that we had a free hand in a way to sort of found it and create it. So in many ways, it's much like a startup. We're not at the scale of 350, we're at a scale of 15 this year, and somehow we sort of doubled every year. But we do give a great deal of focus, and I think, like Akshay said, right, one of the greatest motivations, and if you ask me, my KPIs are more centered into how can I make the next rung of leadership ready, so that there's always that fallback in some way. It also is like a great opportunity for growth, right? So in that case, those investments really make you look at things from a different perspective to create something that is more resilient and that is more firm, so to speak.
I understand. Now, let me ask you the googly part of the question, right? So do you guys, none of you said, you haven't done your MBA. Okay. What do you guys think about MBAs in general? Do you think it's important, or do you think it's a complete fucking waste of time?
So I'll draw a parallel to my life. Okay, so that when I had the opportunity to go to Delhi to start that, you know, Delhi operations, I was in the middle of starting to do the MBA. So I was like, you know, typically like every 23-year-old, 24-year-old, ke boss abhi, you know, you've got to sort of pick that thing off a list thing. MBA to karna hi hai, right? I'm so glad I didn't do it. If you ask me, I saved those 1-2 years of, you know, time plus money. Because I feel that what I actually learned on my own, doing what I was doing completely on my own, was maybe a lot more than probably what I've got in the MBA. Not discounting the importance of MBA, because I haven't done it, so I don't know what you can get from it. But I just felt like the real world experience is so much more richer. I don't want to dissuade anybody from doing the MBA, because I'm sure many people who've done the MBA have also done things in life. But I just felt like at that point in time, at that moment, it didn't feel necessary. So, you know, if in a student's life, he feels like the MBA is going to add value at that point in time, he should do it. But for me, I didn't feel the need at that point in time. And looking back, I have no regrets. I think I was talking to you about, you know, wanting to come to MICA and actually study at MICA, you know, ISB, wherever else. But I thought, okay, I didn't get the opportunity because I had something else that came my way. But looking back, I mean, no regrets, and I have learned a lot in my own job also.
Interesting. And Abhinay, what about you?
So for me, I think the largest and like the biggest business school is the real world. And that really teaches you a lot. If there is a specialization required, like for example, I genuinely wanted to learn more in economics, which is why I actually did a post-graduation in economics after Xavier's. So that's where I feel that you can enhance yourself from a curriculum perspective. I have nothing against the MBA. In fact, I'm constantly hustling. Well, I think I'm not have reached 30 yet. So Akshay is probably in a different position, but I'm still constantly tussling whether I should invest myself in an MBA or not. But it's more about what you want to take out from the program. And if it's more of understanding the tricks of the trade, I think there's no greater teacher than the real world from that point of view.
Okay. So I've got one more question on this front, like, on the 30 under 30 list, right? So, and these are separate questions for Akshay and Abhinay. So I'll ask Abhinay the question first. If I have to look at 30 under 30, right? It is given to individuals for the work that they do over the years. Now, do you think that an individual kind of eclipses the team dynamic? I know that it's a bit of a question that I asked a little earlier, but I just want to press on this issue. I'm trying to understand how a young leader like you deals with an award like this, because eventually you've got to go and work with your sort of entrepreneurial startup-y team, as you said, but within a large organization. So what do you do the next day? Do you think that you have to take additional measures to say the right things, or do you say, fuck it?
I mean, it's not an either or in my mind. I actually think that it's just about being you as an individual. And I think for me, fortunately, I've been like the circle that I've really cared about has been more than supportive than anything else. So from that lens, I don't think I sort of felt anything that I should have or shouldn't have. But it's about like I think Akshay also said, right? A very core part of it is to make sure that your peers. Ultimately, if you see as an individual, you might do great things, but at the end of the day, everyone is a team player, right? I mean, Dhoni could be great in batting and in wicket keeping, but he might not be a great bowler for which he needs one, right? So it's always going to be about the team. And I think every individual accomplishment is more a testimony to the team's effort as well in many ways, right? So it's just about making sure that everyone sort of reaches the same milestones that everyone has an ambition to lead.
Okay. All right. So I'll let you get away with that. I'm going to, it's a nice well left by you since you like cricketing metaphors. It's a good well left by you. I'm going to ask, Akshay this question now. Akshay, did you ever think that you're going to win an award? In the sense that did you actually think I'm going to be on this damn famous list? Did you work towards being on a list? Because, you've said this, that people should go on lists. They should aspire, right? And that's where this is coming from.
Yeah. No, actually, I mean, to answer your question, no.
Okay.
I never really thought that I'd be on a particular, list as such.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been, a question of saying that can you work hard, can you do your best job, and then if you get on the list, you get on the list, right? So
yes.
You always aspire to win accolades for sure, but never really, targeted a particular list as such, if you ask me. So I've always said we've got to do the best work as a team, we've got to do the best, be remembered for the best kind of work also. But it's never been about a particular list, if you ask me. Yeah.
Okay. So therefore, then why do you ask your team to actually look at these award lists?
So, I'll be honest with you. There are different people have different motivations, right?
Sure.
And for us as leaders, it's important to identify which person is motivated by what. Very honestly, like some people in my team are motivated by just getting a mention on WhatsApp, right?
Yeah.
So we have a large group on WhatsApp, and just getting a mention on WhatsApp for them is a motivation enough. For some people who want to have that medal on their mantle and, actually show the fact that they won an award, for them, that's a motivation. For some people, it's monetary motivation, right? They work towards a target. They work towards wanting to earn more at the end of the year after meeting a target.
Yes.
So, I think it's for us, it's very important to identify what motivates different people, and which again comes from, you know, how are we building that culture within the company where we identify groups of people who are motivated by different things.
So, interesting. Okay, so good. So that's where you're looking at. I'm going to continue asking you questions because I think Abhinay has some network issues. So we let him sort it out while Colosseum sorts it out with you. Let me ask this question.
Can you see me?
I can't see you particularly, but I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Because when I can't see you, but I can hear you well. So that's
all right. Good. So let's just continue as if it's a podcast, right?
Awesome.
Okay. All right. So here's the question for you, Akshay, right? I've heard so many good things about Shebang and the kind of work that you've done, especially the Prime Video campaign. Okay. So can you talk a little bit about it?
Sure. So we work with Amazon Prime, for some of the show launches. Mm-hmm. So the most recent one being the Patal Lok launch that we did. So we are basically on board with them for a couple of, you know, key initiatives that they want to run, which could be innovative in that sense. Uh-huh. So we did this entire 8D audio experience, basically, wherein we, you know, actually scripted out an entire, a story. Mm-hmm. When you hear with your headphones on, sounds like it's actually like an 8D experience or 4D experience or 3D experience, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But the thought was to make it as immersive as possible, because in case if you watched Patal Lok, it's really immersive.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It is.
The storytelling is amazing. So we try to replicate the kind of, you know, storytelling that is there in the show, but mm-hmm. give it a more immersive experience within your phone itself, right? So again, it was something new. Not too many brands have actually, you know, dabbled too much with this 8D audio kind of a thing. But we felt that Amazon, being a player who is into innovating with content, and they do a stellar job on digital, we said, let's pitch it to them and see if they'd be interested with it. And they loved the idea. So I think it worked pretty well.
So do you think it actually helped you to... Hi. So Abhinay seems to be back. Hi, Abhinay. I'm just finishing a question with Akshay and I'll come to you.
Sure.
The question that I wanted to ask you as a follow-up, Akshay, is do you think that, there's obviously a big creative aspect to it. But so if I have to look at technology, if I have to look at creative, if I have to look at marketing, there are a lot of aspects to digital marketing, right? How would you actually split the pie, particularly in this campaign, but in general, the kind of work that you do with Shebang? I just wanted to know how your mind thinks about a subject, a functional subject. Yeah.
Sure. So you're saying like a mix between creative and technology, right?
Correct.
I think very interesting question. I'm glad someone's addressed that, because I think all of us as digital marketers have to start thinking a little more tech-driven, be it using tools, be it using innovations, because the thing is, we are dependent on platforms today who allow us to do different things in a more creative manner. Now, the fun of it actually comes when you're using the best parts of the tech along with the best part of storytelling to combine them together into something much more experiential in that sense. So
Correct.
From a tech perspective, be it like a chatbot, AR, VR, even using data for that matter, I think these are trends which are only going to keep getting bigger and bigger as the industry grows, because I think the need for all of these are to give the user an immersive experience.
Sure.
I think what happens is nowadays there's so much content being generated.
Yeah.
Break the clutter, you've got to stand out in this clutter, right?
And so then, to interrupt you, then do you actually start with, let's say, the question, how does technology interrupt you? Or do you actually say, okay, what's the story? So how does the thought process start?
I think at the core, we're still storytellers. So we've still got to find the consumer insight. We've still got to find, you know, what's going to make the consumer tick. We've still got to find what's going to make the consumer interested in that
kind of thing.
And if you can do it with tech as a part of it, I think it amplifies the entire experience. So, I think at the core, we are still storytellers trying to talk to your consumers, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Abhinay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear. I think technology is not on my side today.
I'm telling you, I, this is the first time I'm doing any sort of show with technologists, and this is what happens. I'm just kidding. So here's a question for you. Okay. The question is that if you have the look of consumer behavior. So if you have consumer behavior on one side and you have marketing and data and the rest of it on another side, I would like you to identify a great consumer insight that you cracked based upon this excellent combination of skills that you have, and if you can just talk us through it.
Okay, so interestingly, more than consumer insight, I think the role that we sort of play with the interplay of technology, right, is trying to find out who the right audience is. So rather than an insight, who is the right audience for a particular brand?
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, about 3 years ago, I had this chance to work with one of our teams in Germany, and we were really pitching for like a lottery account. And I knew nothing of the German market, and I knew nothing of lottery in their country as well, right? But because of the way we were able to analyze Facebook's information and Google's information in a way that we hadn't done before as well, what we were able to do is, against gut, we were able to find out audience cohorts that the brand had not even looked at. Like, for example, it would have seemed very strange for me to say if someone interested in lottery might also actually be interested in soccer and Germany. I mean, of course, and of course, like from a cultural point of view, we know that it could go into that direction. But you never really associate it with gambling or lottery in that lens, right? And I think the beauty of actually analyzing or looking at data and massaging it in a different way really unveils certain information pieces that, in some sense, did really well for that campaign, because just implementing whatever planning logic that we had, we were able to instinctively deliver way more value than what was previously being done. So I think I think that's how we sort of look at it. It's not like it's not that either of them replace it, but it's just how you can make use of what you have.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you mention it this way. Here's the question that I have as a follow-up for this.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.